The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Boston Red Sox win a playoff game against the New York Yankees in tremendous fashion. 3-1 is the final score, but it felt at many times that the final result would be different. I'm Nick the Voice, joined tonight by a pretty full house, Chris Felico, Jeremy Schilling, Doug Aitchison, Terry Cushman Jr., and Jason Kelly. We are the Bastards of Boston. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's lead off with the ace himself, Garrett Crochet, with just about as flawless of a game as you could have asked for, save for the single home run he gave up. 11 Ks, 4 hits, 7.2 outs. And personally, I was biting my nails when he came out for the eighth inning. I thought it was going to be a mistake. He was already in 100 pitches, and he got 2 outs. And honestly, going to Chapman right after that, it was one of those things that I thought was going to backfire on us. I was ready to scream Cora, but I can't fault him tonight because the players succeeded. What did you guys think about Garrett Crochet? Let's start with Chris.
Well, this Mr. miserable bastard, no pun intended, is giddy. I mean, it was a great start from Crochet. And yes, it was near flawless. But you know what, to be fair too, Fried was flawless. The biggest difference in this game was after that home run, which reared its ugly head, and you start thinking, oh, God, is this going to become a thing? And he settled down. I think he retired the next 15 batters. And the Sox, even though they weren't able to break through against Fried, they worked the counts. They had him in trouble a couple times. He was able to get out of it to his credit, but it ended up proving costly because he didn't get to go as far into this game as Garrett Crochet, and that was the difference. And the Sox were able to rally against the Yankees' bullpen, which was absolutely horrible. And then Chapman gave us 3 heart attacks, and we take game one. Hats off.
Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, this is why you went and got him, right? This is why you went and got him from the White Sox. This is why you paid him the money. And I'm watching the on and off at work, the Tigers-Guardians game today, and Skubal just completely shoves. Absolute monster. And I'm just wondering all day if that's the player we got, we're going to get. And we got him. He was awesome. He was nails. You know, I guess he does have some left in the tank because we're into the postseason and this is the same guy he's been all year. And if we can find a way to win tomorrow, I mean, the expectation is maybe he's not going to be this good, but he's going to pitch into the 6th, 7th inning and give you a chance to win. You know, as it were, he gave up the home run, but with no traffic on base, so it doesn't kill you. Solo home runs don't sink you unless you give up 3 or 4 of them. So, you know, the balls by Cora, in my opinion, to bring him out in the 8th, you know, already had 100 pitches and it works out. You know, Cora, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but Cora pulled a lot of the right moves tonight and kind of got us where we needed to be. And, you know, it starts with Crochet. It starts with your ace. You set him up to pitch game one. And he did everything you would expect a true big time ace to do.
Doug.
He was sensational. 117 pitches, pumping 99. No, just blowing it by guys still in the 8th. You know, with a high pitch count, people think, oh, he's tired. He's this. He threw 115 plus, pumping 99, pumping 100 at guys. The best pitching performance we've seen in a Red Sox uniform in a long time, maybe since that Evaldi game in the World Series. I mean, this is what you need. This is what, you know, this is what wins playoff series. We've been saying it the whole time. You know, this is why I keep saying, I said all year, I feel good about a 3-game series when you have Crochet. And this is it, you know. Now the numbers are in our favor. Now the numbers are in the favor of the guy who wins the first game. We took care of business. It's just a great, great performance.
Terry.
Struggling with the format here, the audio visual, but we'll just try it this way for now. But I feel insane for this, but you know, I said in the chat after the sixth inning, I'm like, well, he'll come out for the seventh. I mean, just the way he ended it, he looks okay. He's still amped up. You could tell as he was leaving the mound. And then in my head, like I said, I feel insane, but I'm like, he comes out for the seventh and then the eighth. And I'm thinking we're probably way better off with Whitlock, you know, than chancing it again and giving these guys another look at Crochet, and the dude just shoved. So I was absolutely incorrect with that thought. Additionally, this kind of checks off the final box for Garrett Crochet. You know,
100%.
The big question coming in was, you know, can he replicate what he did last year with adding, you know, another 20, 30, 40 innings to that? And he checked that box off. I mean, maybe there was a little bit of fatigue, but, you know, there was no evidence of it the last couple times out, including tonight. And, you know, he doesn't have David Price syndrome. He can win a game in October. And I just thought it was a brilliant performance. And I liked Cora going to Chapman. It got a little dicey in the ninth inning. I mean, bases loaded. You're like, uh-oh, at least one's going to score, right? And it didn't. He ended up kind of clamping back down, got the strikeout from Stanton, and the next two outs. You literally used the best two pitchers you had, and that's all you needed tonight. So it was a good pitching performance.
Jason.
Yeah, Garrett Crochet doesn't have to prove anything to anyone anymore, because I feel like this guy's been, you know, doubted by especially Boston media. And we know how tough Boston media can be. But they've been doubting him all year. First it was, well, do you really want to give up that many prospects for a pitcher? Then it was, do you really want to give this guy an extension when he hasn't pitched a full season yet? Then he still is, you know, pitching his balls off all season. He has like one shaky start after the All-Star break. And all it takes a guy like Maz to go, oh, well, see, he's never pitched this many innings. So are we starting to see, you know, the second half downfall? He finishes the year strong. We make the playoffs. And then I heard it today. It was, well, has he ever really pitched in a big game like this before? Do we know that we can trust him? And they're going through his stats in 2020 during that bogus season when he was a reliever with the White Sox pitching in a playoff game. Like, oh, I don't know. He looked a little shaky there, like Yankee Stadium playoff game. Can he really get it done? He got it done. He did exactly what Skubal did for the Tigers. Same thing. He went out there like an ace and he shoved. He made the one mistake, and to Jeremy's point, there was nobody on base. Solo home run to Volpe in that stupid short porch. Like, how many times has that happened to a pitcher? But that's it. That's the only mistake he made. Apart from that, he cruised after that. He was having efficient innings. He was, you know, low pitch count innings. Like, that helped him go deep. And so credit to him. Like, you know, he didn't have to prove anything to his teammates or to, I think, us, like, you know, realistic fans who, you know, don't always have to find something to complain about, but he proves to everyone. I mean, there's no one who can bitch about anything Garrett Crochet's done this season, because he just won you that first playoff game, which was absolutely huge.
Absolutely. And I have word that a seventh bastard has joined the building. Charlie on the streets. What did you think of Garrett Crochet?
That was the epitome of what a masterclass performance from a starting pitcher and a closer that absolutely knows the definition of nutting up when you have loaded up the bases in the ninth inning. My two favorite pitches of that inning, Jazz Chisholm chirping after 101 on the corner, and then Grisham looking at 86 across the dish, thinking he was going to see 100 again. It was absolutely incredible. Tarik Skubal and Garrett Crochet did what Cy Young pitchers do. They absolutely elevate their game. They make very, very minimum mistakes. And I'm talking about one mistake in this game. One mistake, a Volpe short, you know, short porch home run, as Jason mentioned, every single pitcher, I think, has given up at least one there. But the difference between the two, you got one who struck out 13, I think, Cleveland Guardians in a low pressure situation. And you have Garrett Crochet pitching in the Bronx as a member of the Boston Red Sox, one of the meccas of baseball, and absolutely shoved. So you ask yourself, which performance was better? It's fair to say that both were great. The Sox showed up when they needed to, but that Massa two-run single, that is going to be probably the best hit of his career.
God, yes. I mean, the Masataka Yoshida RBI parade, we needed it, you know, and that guy needed it. This was a dude who I had written off the playoff roster a month ago, and then over the course of the last month, he firmly proved me wrong, and I love that. You know, Cora really did pull out all the stops tonight. He had three guys pinch hit. It was Yoshida, Lowe, and Abreu. Out of the three of them, Abreu and Lowe combined 0-3, but Yoshida got himself a big hit at the right moment. Funnily enough, it was kind of the same hit he's been getting all season, just an infield hit right up the middle, but no one was there. And ultimately, that gave us the lead 2-1. Ultimately, we'd win the game 3-1, but it all started with Yoshi. What did you guys think of Yoshida, Cora's decision-making, and the offense as a whole? And, you know, believe me, when we get around the horn, I've got a lot of other guys I'd like to shout out because there were a lot of guys deserving of praise. But for right now, let's start it off with Chris.
I mean, I think Cora, I mean, he pulled out all the stops. He pulled out all the right moves. There really isn't much to question. I was with Terry. I was getting a little bit concerned when he left Crochet in for as long as he did, because I just thought he was rolling the dice. And it's like, how many times can you go near the fire without getting burnt? But it worked out. But as far as Yoshida, I mean, it's funny. Like I was saying in the war room, I think it was after the second or third Duran at bat, I was like, my God, what I would give. And I couldn't believe I was saying it. Like what I would give to have Yoshida up in that spot. And then sure as hell, he ends up coming up in a big spot. He ends up getting the hit that wins the game. But I mean, it was a good performance. You know, even Lowe, like the next at bat that he had in that same inning, I thought he was making that game 5-1 at that point, the way it came off the bat. But you know, other than that, he really didn't do much. But I'll tell you what, someone I want to give a ton of credit to, Nick Sogard. I mean, other than Crochet, he's kind of like my MVP for this game. I mean, a quiet unsung hero. The at bats he put together, and I mean, having the presence of mind to go take two in that situation, when you didn't necessarily need to, but it's just outstanding performance by him.
Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch on the Sogard thing. This guy's been in Worcester all year, you know, and he comes and you want to talk about the environment. It's the same environment for Crochet as it was for Sogard. Yankee Stadium, no experience in that, you know, atmosphere with that much on the line. And his instincts were to go get to second base, and he had a great slide and got there. And he, as a result, I believe it was one out. So they, you know, they were away from the double play possibility, and it was a huge play in the game. Yoshida, to me, you know, obviously he's a lightning rod because of the contract, but like he gets up, first pitch was the base hit, right? So he gets in the batter's box with a plan, and which is probably, I would think, to hit the best pitch he can hit. And if it's the first pitch, I'm going to hit it. And so he's not, it wasn't even the hit. It was, he didn't shy away from the moment. It wasn't like, let me take one and see what's going on here. He goes in with a plan. He executes the plan. He puts a good swing in the ball, and he has the base hit to win the game. I mean, I don't think that's should be anything lightly. I mean, to be ready for the moment, again, he wasn't in the game. That was a pinch hit, first pitch, base hit to take the lead. I mean, that's a player that's prepared, that's ready to go and not, you know, crumble in that atmosphere, in that moment, you know, and you can't help but start to grip the bat a little bit harder. Because again, as I believe Chris said, they had their chances, you know, and they can't get that big hit with runners in scoring position. Bregman is just bitten by it at this point, although he had the big double in the ninth to give the extra run there, which felt like it was going to be really important with the bases loaded and one out. But, you know, I mean, the little things are what's going to win these games. I can't believe I'm saying that about this team, because in June, all those things went the wrong way. But hopefully they loosen up tomorrow, because I think they're going to need to score more than three tomorrow.
Doug?
Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I felt good with Massa at the plate. Like, I felt like, you know, like I knew we were going to pinch hit him. Right when they threw that, right when they started the inning with a righty, okay, we're going to pinch hit William now. We can pinch hit Massa. I wanted to see him at the plate. And he pulled through, and it was just a great piece of hitting right in the gap. And yeah, Sogard, I mean, we've talked about it before that, you know, you need a couple rookies, a couple young guys in the playoffs that have no pressure on them, and they just go up and they just feel free, and they go up and they play baseball and they get big hits, and in playoff series happens every year. You see it. And you know, this was no different. Sogard was just great tonight, and so was Eaton was good, you know. And then, you know, you have Trevor and Bregman getting two hits each at the top. We were getting them on, you know. There was a point where we had more hits than even in like the fourth inning, you know. We were still getting to Fried, kind of. We were getting guys on, we were getting hits. Our problem was still driving them in. But you know, once we did, this team is hard to beat with our bullpen. You know, if we can really get a lead in the later innings, I always like our chances.
Terry.
You know, I guess Massa was the hero for driving in the two runs, and theoretically that's all you needed because the Yankees only scored one. But the guy that really ramped up the pressure on New York quite a bit tonight was Narvaez. With those excellent plate appearances, drawing three walks. He didn't have a hit on the night, but just Max Fried in the fourth, fifth, and sixth inning seemed to get the first two outs easily, and then just struggled mightily to get the final out. And he came out of the game with nobody on. You know, he was up for the win if the Yankees bullpen could have held it. But Weaver, who I feel like struggles against us, it seemed like, I know we shelled him at least once this year, and I thought that was a questionable move on Boone's part. But yeah, I really liked Narvaez's, at bats tonight. And, you know, Story had a big hit, Bregman as well. So, not a stellar night. It would have been ugly if you lost 1-0. And, you know, I mean, this lineup shouldn't be, this shouldn't be a deep October lineup, but just who knows? It's, you know, fairy tales happen, and, you know, we'll see what they do. But I do agree tomorrow will be a higher scoring game. I don't think Bayo is going to be as dominant as Crochet was, and is it Rodon that we're up against? I would assume. Yep, yeah, right. We've definitely gotten to him, not so much the last two or three times, but I know earlier in the season we hit him pretty good. So just depends on what he has left in the tank, you know, after, I don't know if this is the most innings of his career, but it's probably one of the most innings, you know, for a guy that's typically injury prone.
Jason.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Narvaez. Those three walks were really clutch, and especially because they were all on close calls. And, you know, whether it was intentional gamesmanship or not, but him just kind of throwing the bat down right away once the ball was in the glove and kind of turning to the umpire, like, you really going to call that a strike? You haven't called it a strike all night. Like, I don't know if that affected it at all, but if it did, smart move by Narvaez. Like, especially as the opposing catcher, like, if you call me out on this one, then we're expanding our strike zone next inning. So it was a smart move by him. Those walks were really clutch. And I think it just kind of shows you the difference between these two teams where, you know, the Red Sox got contributions from other guys, right? You know, Nate Eaton with that sort of jam shot, blue pit. I mean, that really was an excuse me kind of double. And if there's anyone Bart Narvaez on first, he probably scores. But you got him going, Nick Sogard, as you guys mentioned. Like, thank God for him, because he's the answer to not having David Hamilton in the lineup so much, because we know how much Alex Cora loves David Hamilton. But I think going up against a lefty and, you know, lefty again tomorrow, kind of forces his hand because he knows Nick Sogard can hit lefties. He's always been able to. He hits them down in Worcester. The few times he plays up here, he hits lefties. So, and, you know, is he as fast as David Hamilton? No, but I trust him more defensively. I trust him to give you a better at bat, too. And he showed off some wheels tonight. You know, he doesn't have the sprint speed that Hamilton has, but I feel like David Hamilton runs himself into outs more often than not. So give me Nick Sogard over David Hamilton any day. So that's kind of was the difference that, like, the Red Sox had contributions from kind of up and down the lineup in different ways. Whereas I look at that Yankees team and I feel like the rest of the lineup just sits around and waits for Aaron Judge to do something. Like, Jazz Chisholm is not, like, he's not going to move the chains kind of offensive player. He goes up there swinging for the fences every time. Same with Grisham, same with Austin Wells. Like, they just want to launch. They're in their small ballpark and they just want to launch. And there's only a few guys like Goldschmidt, I think, gets it. He's a veteran. He knows he's got to move the chains a little bit. But otherwise, like, they all just sit around and wait for Judge to give him a big 3-run homer and, you know, get the crowd into it. And okay, now he can win. If he doesn't do that, then, you know, again, like, no one else really steps up on that team. So I thought it was a good difference of, look, Terry's probably right. This is not a roster that you look at and say, yeah, they can go on a deep playoff run. Like, you're not going to win the World Series because of Nick Sogard, most likely. But also, we probably thought that about Steve Pierce at a certain point in time when we traded for him. And, you know, guys like that can make a difference. So it's not all about just sitting here waiting for Bregman or Duran to do something the way the Yankees wait for Judge to do something. We can get contributions from guys off the bench, guys who have spent most of the year in Worcester. Like, that's the difference. And that was a big difference tonight as well.
Charlie.
I don't think, you know, Terry, I feel like we have to shout you out right now. What was the expression that you had for the Boston Red Sox? What are these? This is Alex Cora's what? Not replacements. Platoon squad?
It's a platoon dynasty. That's what it is.
Your platoon dynasty just got the win against the Yankees again in the Bronx. I mean, this is the team. I mean, who has the stones to say, yep, let's put Yoshida in this situation? I mean, what a clutch inning. Absolute, like, everything that happened. First off, you can't discount what Max Fried did as well. He pitched a heck of a first game. Both pitchers that started today deserve the win. Unfortunately, that's not how baseball works. But if you want to talk about the at-bats, I mean, that strike zone wasn't the most friendly, if we have to be honest. There were a lot of questionable calls, and not one person from our team chirped. And that's the type of thing that you want to see from the players who are supposed to be leaders. The Yankees were chirping after, you know, ball counts that or you know, strikes that were balls that were strikes. And, you know, you're starting to see one team unravel and you're starting to see the other one just play it cool, because I think one team expects to be here year in and year out. The Boston Red Sox, I don't think, had the same idea as soon as Rafael Devers was gone. We had these streaks of being really good and then really bad and then really good again, but you had to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You were consistently inconsistent. That was the story of the 2025 Boston Red Sox, led by Garrett Crochet at the helm and Aroldis Chapman, who's the best closer in over a decade. I mean, I don't know another closer that could do what we just saw Chapman do. The at-bats, I don't know if Rodon is going to be able to match the performance that we saw today from Max Fried either. So there's a chance that you'll see better offensive output in game two. But if that doesn't happen, I'm not worried. Before the world, the wild card series started, the wild card team that won game one has won each series every time, 12 for 12. So there's a chance that the Boston Red Sox now, you know, I love that stat too. I think it's adorable. Thank you, Jeremy. You just have to split the rest of the series now. That's all you have to do. Just split.
Yeah, it's just been phenomenal. You know, I agree. Max Fried deserves a lot of credit for tonight. Honestly, watching him pitch, I thought to myself very early on, that is the pitcher that I remember wanting last year, you know, and we didn't get it. And our replacement, really, our consolation prize of sorts, was Garrett Crochet, right? We scrambled to make the trade to get an ace of our own because we couldn't afford one. And bam, our ace won the duel tonight. It was just a great, great pitcher's duel. And one thing that I think really separated our offense from the Yankees was walks, funnily enough. The Red Sox had 8 hits to the Yankees, 7. But the Yankees did not walk a single time. You compare that to Ref Snyder worked a walk. You had Bregman work a walk. You had Narvaez, as Terry mentioned, 3 beautiful walks. But one of the most pivotal walks was Sedan Rafaela's 11-pitch at-bat, fouling off ball, after going down in the count, mind you, 0-2. That was absolutely tremendous. And ultimately, it would be followed by Sogard's double and Yoshida's pinch hit single, giving us the lead. Showing that level of patience, that's something that I think the team as a whole has struggled with throughout the year. We've seen it in flashes, but not necessarily consistently. To see those 6 walks tonight was very, very encouraging. Another thing I want to say is Chapman, 4 outs was a big ask. It's very seldom that we went to him this year. What was it? Maybe 1-2 times. It was a very small group. And I'll tell you, when he loaded the bases, I thought for sure, not necessarily we're going to lose here, but this is probably going to extras. And the fact that he was able to knuckle down, get the outs, and even the fact that I didn't think to myself, oh, we lose the game immediately right off the bat, that really does go to show exactly the type of pitcher he's been. So it was just fantastic to see. One other thing I'll say before I go around the horn here, and we can all sort of chip in on the various things that are on our mind, is the fact that the Red Sox in this pivotal Game 1 only used 2 pitchers. It was Crochet and Chapman. Everyone else is rested and available. Despite Max Fried's 6.1 scoreless innings, they ended up using 5 relief pitchers: Weaver, Cruz, Williams, Bednar, and Hill. Now, I'm sure quite a few of them are probably going to be available for tomorrow. It's a go-home game, but that is just an incredibly encouraging look. Let's go around. Start with Chris.
Yeah, it's pivotal. I mean, even the broadcast said it. The Sox now have basically seen every reliever that the Yankees have. And to be honest, they had a little bit of success against all of them, including Bednar, who's kind of owned us this year, if we're being honest, the few times that we have seen him. I think the walks is a great point because, honestly, before that moment, we were able to fight off that many pitches, draw that walk, ended up being pivotal in coming in to be the winning run. It seemed like every count, it was the same thing that we've seen all season, right? It was 1-0. We had plenty of opportunities to score, couldn't drive men. And then after that, it seemed like every moment was 0-2. And these guys were striking out, hitting soft ground balls up, not even running them out. And I'm like, wow, are we going to really lose this game 1-0? I mean, Fried, like I said, he was phenomenal. He was flawless. If we're being honest, he was flawless. The difference was, I think Charlie may have said it, someone did, but there were moments where he would get the quick 2 outs, and then somehow we would kind of make him sweat it out a bit. We'd have runners in the scoring position, and we drew them out. And he did not he didn't stay in the game long enough to keep his team in it, if we're being honest. But it was, I mean, listen, I'm ecstatic that we won, and there's a lot to be said. I'm glad that I was wrong on as far as saying that we were going to be out of this in 2. We have to win this series tomorrow. That much I will say, because this was a must win for us. And that's the difference between us and the Yankees. This was a must win for us. There was no way we were losing this and winning this series. And if we don't win tomorrow, it's still a toss up. I mean, and I think about, with as well as Fried pitched, imagine we did sign him. Imagine going into this series with Max Fried as our 2 and Bayo as our 3rd.
Yeah, that'd absolutely. Jeremy.
Yeah, you stole my thunder there at the end. The key here is tomorrow for me, and I know you guys talked about it last night, was the Giolito injury. And, you know, at least as of now, or when I checked yesterday, it was a TBD. I think it's going to be Connelly early. That's a lot of pressure on that player. And I understand the expectation may be to get through the lineup once, maybe twice. And I understand we had, you know, basically guys that were in AAA all year contribute today, but that can't be the expectation in these series to continue to win. So for me, tomorrow's a must win. Bayo's been your clear number two. His stuff is good enough. It's whether he's going to be right mentally, in my opinion, and if the moment's going to be too big for him. I think we're going to find out right away. If he comes out in the first and he's sharp and he's pitching with pace, you know, I think we'll know what we have. And that's hopefully a guy that can give you five or six and turn it over to the bullpen. But we have been absolutely snake bitten in the starting rotation. The timing of the Giolito injury is truly hard to believe. And it's just another setback in that spot in this roster when they have been incredible. They went into the season deep. We found out they were even deeper as our depth got tested. And now our depth is tested to the point where we're going to go throw a kid who's got four major league starts that was never on the radar to pitch in the big leagues in 2025, maybe not even in 2026. And here we are potentially putting him in a true elimination game. Bayo has got to go do his job tomorrow. There's a lot of pressure on him. I get it, but he's the guy with the contract. He's the guy that you're clear number two. Go prove, or I hope that he goes and proves that spot is his. And I know we're going to try to hopefully go get another elite starting pitching next year. Joe Ryan is someone we've talked about heavily on this podcast, but go show that that's your spot. You know, he's been good against the Yankees. And with that said, I have no idea what he's going to do.
Doug.
He's going to win, Jeremy.
Your lips are God's ears, brother.
I'm telling you. First thing I'm going to bring up, last week, the last hot takes that you guys did, I don't know if you remember, but you picked out mine, which was the Red Sox will beat the Yankees in the wild card round. You guys all, you know, disagreed with me, but I'll take my optimism and, you know, I'm sitting pretty right now. I feel great. I feel great about Bayo's start tomorrow. I feel great about playing this Yankee lineup. I feel great about silencing all the Yankee fans. I really do. I think Bayo's going to come out tomorrow night and he's going to show that he is that spot, that he deserves that spot. And he proved it all year. He had a rocky September, but you can't, I don't think that can take away from everything he did all year. He was great. He was a real number two all year and he shoved against the Yankees all season. And I have total faith in Brian Bayo tomorrow. And I can't say I have faith in pretty much any Yankee. Aaron Judge can't hit in the playoffs. So, you know, I feel good about tomorrow night.
Terry.
I really think the Yankees will win game two. I'm willing to say that game three can go either way. But and Doug, I don't know if you guys mentioned it prior while I was trying to fiddle with the format here, but since 2022, this is Tyler Milliken. I'd probably have to give him credit, even though, never mind. No team has ever lost the first game of the wild card series and then ended up winning it. So whoever wins game one wins the wild card series every time since 2022. So if history holds up, the Red Sox would win. But as far as tomorrow, Alex Cora is pretty handcuffed. I think he has to run this lineup out again. I don't think he's going to put Yoshida in there against the lefty. I don't think Abreu, who's not really hitting all that well since he's come back, I don't think he's going to be hitting against the lefty. So he can shuffle the lineup a little in a different order, but these are the guys. Aaron Boone's going to be able to do whatever he wants with his lineup because they're facing a righty in Bayo. So, you know, if the Yankees blow it tomorrow, then, you know, they choked, in my opinion. They just simply choked. And I said last night on the predictions episode, this is the worst offense they have faced in the playoffs this century. The Yankees had a brutal offense to face in 2004, but they had a good one too, though. I don't know, when did we play? Was it all the way to 2018? It must have been. Obviously, that was the 108-win season. That offense was a wagon. 2021 was only a one-game wild card, but that was a respectable offense. You know, you still had Xander, JD. I always brain fart. You had Schwarber. You had a bunch of guys that could do damage.
PK had like a career year that year.
Yeah, he's been a good October player, regardless, even as recently as last October. But yeah, so this lineup that the Red Sox are trotting out is not like the rest. So if the Yankees can't beat this lineup, I don't know what to tell them. And they're at home, you know, so we'll see. So I got Yankees tomorrow. Who knows? A month ago, I'd never heard of Connelly Early, if I'm being completely honest. So he wasn't talked about at the trade deadline. I didn't see him in one mock trade package. Maybe there was an obscure Twitter account that had it, but Tolley was the big name throughout July, not Early. So it's crazy that guy is going to start game three in an extremely important game if it gets there.
Jason.
So before I get to tomorrow, there's one thing I wanted to bring up about Aaron Boone. It just because it stuck in my mind. That ninth inning, he pinch hits Ahmed Rosario with the bases loaded for Jazz Chisholm. Ahmed Rosario is a career 298 hitter against lefties. Jazz Chisholm is a career 229 hitter against lefties. And as we know, likes to swing wildly and just swing for the fences every time. So that was another one where I went, he's doing us a favor here. I'd rather face Jazz Chisholm in this situation, one out, bases loaded, than a guy like Rosario, who, you know, he's not like the best offensive player at this point in his career, but I feel like he may have put a ball in play that could have led to trouble. So once again, Aaron Boone, I think, getting in his own way and getting in his team's way there. As far as tomorrow, it's hard because Bayo's been so good against the Yankees this year. And, I mean, his one start in Yankee Stadium, he pitched 7 shutout innings. 5 Ks, only 3 hits. He was dominant. His numbers against the Yankees this year, he's got an ERA under 2. So he pitches really well against this club. But, man, it's a different animal when it's October and that crowd is just on top of you. And I mentioned it on our prediction show last night that Toronto start before the end of the season was really concerning to me because it was Bayo kind of resorting to his old habits of, you know, call doesn't go his way, and then he starts to get frustrated, puts more guys on base, and then it just implodes. And I could see that happening. The Yankees, you know, look, that lineup is still a bit flawed, but that doesn't mean that you can't still lose because he serves up a meatball to Giancarlo Stanton and it goes 500 feet. Like, that could still happen. Now, that being said, Terry, you mentioned the different lineups. I agree. I want Cora to kind of run the same lineup out there. Like, I think that's your best shot. Boone is going to change it up because he's got the righty on the mound. So Jazz is going to get back in. Ryan McMahon's going to go back to third. The benefit of that is that you got Jazz playing second base. So Red Sox runners, anytime there's a double play ball, run like hell because that guy is at least, he's good for one a game throwing it to Venus on a double play exchange. Like, he's an atrocious defender. So that will at least help the Red Sox a little bit, but I don't feel great about it. I think it is going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be a little bit more back and forth. And I just don't know that lineup that, you know, again, I want Cora to run it out there, but admittedly, it's a small ball, small scoring lineup. If Bayo goes out there and gives up 3 or 4 early, it might be tough. So I don't feel great about it. I do think the Yankees somehow win tomorrow. I think it's going to be an ugly game. And then Thursday is a toss-up. I mean, no, we've got a young kid going, but so are the Yankees. At least, you know, according to ESPN, they're going to, it's going to be that Cam Schlittler, who's, you know, 24 years old. He's a rookie. Looks pretty impressive, but, you know, it's going to be his first time pitching in a big game in that stadium too. So Thursday could be a complete toss-up. I hope the Red Sox take care of business tomorrow. Jump on Rodon early, get Bayo some run support. Maybe that relaxes him a little bit, but man, it's hard. I don't see it happening, but I hope I'm wrong.
Charlie.
So you never ask a woman her age. You never ask a man how much money he makes. And you never ask the New York Yankees what happened in the fifth inning of Game 5 of the 2024 World Series. This is the second straight game that the New York Yankees have gone deep into a game and choked it away. Choked it away. Luke Weaver was an elite reliever last year. Elite. And then come postseason, burned out. Was not the same guy anymore. Same thing applied here. Was not the same pitcher this year. You already mentioned it. An 11 pitch at bat to someone who does not have patience at the dish. You threw 11 pitches to Sadon Rafaela, who you started 0-2 on back-to-back changeups. That is the luck of the Boston Red Sox with the New York Yankees. Jason, you already mentioned it, and thank you so much because it's right into my next segue. Jazz Chisholm is the 2025 version of Chuck Knoblauch. For those of you who don't know who that is the former second baseman that had wheels for days, but the yips, and eventually was sent packing, I think to Minnesota or Kansas City. I can't even remember. His career was irrelevant after he left New York. Run like hell, kids. This is your time. You want to channel your inner Trevor Story or Ricky Henderson, God bless him. That's your day. Tomorrow could be your day. Rookie game 3 of us said the Red Sox were going to go and win 2 of 3. That's Jason Kelly. That's Nick the Voice. And that's myself. I think it's going to go 3 games. The best thing for baseball is for this to go 3 games. If Bayo ends up doing okay, great. If he doesn't do okay, that's fine. You still have the benefits of Garrett Whitlock, who's going to be able to get you an inning or two. You have a pretty much rested bullpen. And I'm just not worried. You win game 1, you just have to split the next series. If you lose game 2 for whatever reason, we'll say goodnight to you, you know, goodbye New York in game 3. You know, the Red Sox have had the Yankees number all year long. This is no secret. You know, this has been the year. The Yankees choke in the playoffs, and Chris, you mentioned it, this could be the year that Aaron Judge shows up. Or this could be Aaron Judge being Aaron Judge, as sad as it is, you know. He is one of the best regular season players that we have seen in the last, I don't know how many decades. 450 home run campaigns. That's nuts. We should be lucky that we saw that happen. Very few times in the future are we going to see somebody like that do that again. But he just hasn't proven to us that he's a postseason player. And he's with the New York Yankees. The level of pressure that he has to feel is absolutely astronomical. The best Yankees hitter right now is Aaron Judge. You take Aaron Judge out of New York, they're nothing. You take Trevor Story out of Boston, and we're still, you know, the same team. We'll just find somebody else to supplant that player. It's tough to replace Trevor Story after losing Devers, but we're able to get here without Devers. If they lost Aaron Judge, you're not even huffing the playoffs. You forget it. You forget it. The scratch and sniff isn't happening for this team either. It's just, this is going to be the best next 48 hours for Red Sox baseball, because Yankees Twitter right now is absolutely losing their baby mind. It's just glorious.
Yeah, calling this a choke is absolutely appropriate. I mean, Weaver and Bednar being the guys to give up the runs. The Yankees super pen, I mean, has just been such a meme really all year long, ever since they built it. You know, this game was a tremendous tone setter, I think, because if we lost in this game 1, then I probably would have felt like, oh, we're getting bounced, we're getting swept, you know. But instead, the fact that we won this and so cleanly, you know, funnily enough, I was looking at the box score again just to refresh myself while you guys were talking. And something that stands out to me is it's funny sort of how many things were similar for the Yankees and the Red Sox tonight. So like each team had a 2-out RBI. Each team had a ground into a double play. Each team had 7 opportunities with runners in scoring position The Yankees were 1-for-7. The Red Sox were 2-for-7. Ultimately, that was enough. Now, before we take it home, just one quick thing that I think would be fun is I want to go around the horn and, without too much elaboration, throw out a player that you think is going to have a big game tomorrow. Could be from either team. I'm going to start with a very boring answer, Alex Bregman, and leave it there. How about you, Chris?
I think it's going to be Narvaez. I think, even though, again, he had pivotal walks, didn't necessarily get a hit, I think he's going to build on that. I think he created a lot of frustration for the Yankees because they were chirping. I think a lot of it had to do with the calls that he was getting and they weren't. And I think he's going to put together some good at-bats. I even would venture to guess he may even have a home run.
Jeremy, who's your pick?
Well, I'm sorry. I missed the who's the big player for tomorrow?
Yeah.
If we win, it's going to be Bayo. If Bayo doesn't pitch well and we still win, I think it's going to be somebody random like Rafaela. Big Doug. Home run. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Seydon. I could see I liked his at bat, his approach tonight. I thought he looked good. I see him having a big home run tomorrow.
Terry.
Y'all stole my thunder. His at bat tonight, just working that walk, kind of sparked everything. And he did hit the walk off to seal the playoff berth. But I guess just to be different, I'll say Romy Gonzalez.
Jason.
So obviously, assuming that he starts tomorrow, I assume that he will. I'll do you one better. I'll give you an official prediction here. Rob Refsnyder is going to hit a Yankee Stadium special. That's going to put the Red Sox ahead.
Love it.
Very nice. And Charlie.
That's tough. You know, Jason, here's the thing. I think before we go, can we just comment on the fact that, actually, we don't have to comment. I'm just going to leave it on this one. I'm going to echo Jeremy and say it's going to be Seydon and Bayo. But how about the fact that the Yankees lost to the former Yankees? How special is that? You guys lost it against your closer who you thought just wasn't it anymore. Sorry, kids. He is him. But I will go on the record and say Seydon after that patient at bat, or Bayo just absolutely carrying on for the Sox game too.
Absolutely love it. With that, I think we've said everything there is to say. So far, 3 of the 4 games are in the books. As of recording this, the LA Dodgers are just absolutely beating up on the Cincinnati Reds. No one should be surprised. Thank you, everyone, for joining, for listening, for watching, and commenting. We do appreciate it. I have been Nick, joined by a full house of bastards, Chris, Jeremy, Doug, Terry, Jason, and Charlie. If you want to read some great written articles, you can go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com for more. We will see you tomorrow after the game, and we will see how it goes. Take care, everyone. Goodbye.